Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
On a Thursday, this is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me, loaded today. Michael Strahan, Greg Cosell, David Shaw, Stanford, Notre Dame. It's the biggest weekend in college football in a decade, and it's not for the reason you think. I'll talk about that later. Joy, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
It's great to have you in this morning. It is a Thursday, Rams-Vikings tonight. I'll get to that throughout the course of the show. I do want to start with this, though. Stardom is really hard to explain. Certain people have it. Certain people don't. I can't explain it. Kendall Jenner can't sing, can't dance, and can't act. And in Hollywood, which is the highest percentage of stars in any one city in America, she's a bigger star than 99% of the people in Hollywood. If Kendall Jenner walked into a mall in Hollywood and Tom Hanks and Denzel were there, Kendall Jenner would get mobbed. And she can't sing, she can't dance, she can't act, she can't do much. Her parents were attractive, and she is a superstar, and I can't explain it. But that's just the way the world works. It's not all about talent. Talent matters, but it's not all about talent. Baker Mayfield teammate Rashard Higgins said this week he might end up being on the LeBron wall. And people are like, whoa, the wall. Cleveland has a building. They put LeBron on it. I'm going to tell you something about Baker Mayfield. Is he as talented as Baker, as Andrew Luck? No. But he's already a bigger star than Andrew Luck. Is he as talented as Russell Wilson? No. Is he as talented as Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan? No. I think he's going to be a bigger star than all of them, and he's already a bigger star than Andrew Luck. Here's an amazing thing about Baker Mayfield. He is already top 10 in NFL jersey sales. Why is that a big deal? Folks, he hasn't started a game yet. Everybody else on the list, you know, has started games. Tom Brady, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Luke Kuechly, Saquon Barkley. If you look at the top 10 jersey sales, position doesn't matter that much. We got a linebacker. We got a quarterback. We got a wide receiver. We got a running back. We got a couple running backs. Stephon Diggs, personality. Some have it. Dak doesn't really have a personality. But the Jets and the Browns got a TV rating about a week ago, and it was shocking to me. It was a shocking TV rating, and it wasn't about the Jets, and it wasn't about Sam Darnold. It was a Baker Mayfield TV rating. And I always try to be a consumer when I do my show. What do I care about? And so when I drive into work in the morning, what interests me? I want to be a viewer. I want to be a listener. I don't want to think like me. I want to think like you. And the game I cannot wait to watch this week, this Sunday, is Baker Mayfield at Oakland. That's the game that interests me the most. Is it because Baker Mayfield's great? He's not even the best quarterback in that game. But like Kendall Jenner, he checks all the boxes. He... position, quarterback, police video, profoundly popular in college, controversial. He's got commercials and good ones all over television. He's an underdog. He's in a city in a franchise that's called losers like the Cubs, and he's a winner. And I'll tell you this. LeBron in Ohio was a messiah. People never thought they related to LeBron. He was like a gift. He was born there, and you looked up at LeBron like people in the West look up at God. You don't relate to God. God's up there. Baker's right here. Baker's as tall as you. Baker's about your size. Baker is flawed. Baker makes mistakes. Baker's got a police video. Baker's been a goofball. Baker comes on this show and argues. Baker's emotional. LeBron James was a gift. He was a messiah. You never felt you were his equal. You never felt that with LeBron. You were looking up at LeBron James. Johnny Carson's an old TV star in America, the late Johnny Carson. He used to always say, even though Johnny was much bigger in Hollywood than movie stars in his day, when you go to a theater, you're looking up at movie stars. You're intimidated by movie stars at a theater. But everybody watched Johnny Carson on a TV sitting down in a living room. So Johnny was a bigger star in Hollywood than anybody else, but people would go up to Johnny at a restaurant and bother him. You'd never go up to a movie star. Oh, I can't go up to Tom Cruise or George. Because when you watch them on a movie screen. You're looking up at them. Johnny Carson was bigger than all of them in his prime in the 70s and 80s, but you watched them in a living room. He was your guy. You were eating your TV dinner watching Johnny Carson. He was relatable. I think Baker Mayfield is the biggest star in the NFL that nobody knows is a star yet. Top 10 in jersey sales. He's never started a game. He's not as talented as Andrew Luck. But you know what people do when they come up to me at a restaurant or they come up to me at a car wash? You know what everybody wants to talk about? Baker Mayfield. The NFL's got themselves a star, whether they know it or not. I cannot wait to watch Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, who've lost 22 straight road games at a dysfunctional 0-3 Raiders. I can't explain Kendall Jenner, but I'll tell you what I can explain. If Baker Mayfield didn't play in this game, Raiders, Tyrod Taylor doesn't even make my television set. I got three TVs. I wouldn't put it on any of them. It now is the most interesting game to me. And that's not Gruden, and it's not Derek Carr, and it's not the Browns. It's Baker Mayfield. And I don't think he's nearly as good as Wentz and Matt and Russell, but he's more interesting. And interesting is often, like Kendall Jenner, what creates stars. I want to shift to this. When I was very young and a sportscaster, I was very lucky. I got a big break. My first job was in Las Vegas. And Mike Tyson was emerging as this amazing boxer. And one of the things I always loved about Tyson wasn't his boxing, is that he had a real sense and admiration and love for the history of boxing. You could talk boxing with Mike Tyson. He'd tell you about Tunney and Dempsey and Ali, as he had a real appreciation for the history of the sport. It's one of the things I like about LeBron James. LeBron James, you can go 1970s NBA, 1980s NBA, 1990s. He is calculated. He knows NBA history. He appreciates it. He's very smart. So LeBron James said yesterday, I don't need preseason games to get ready. I'm not going to be playing in preseason games. I'm going to talk to Luke Walton about that. I'm not going to be doing preseason games. And as I've told you many times, LeBron also hates practice. Now, why is this? Because LeBron understands history. And Larry Bird should have played four more years. But Larry Bird was a gym rat. And his legs gave out. And Kobe Bryant was a gym rat. And would practice and practice and practice at a high level, and his body wore down. And Michael Jordan partied like crazy, cigars, steaks, late night card games, and his body deteriorated. LeBron James knows his legacy is now all about being able to play in June. It is not a coincidence in the last 6 years, as LeBron has hit the back nine in his career, that every January, his teams are struggling. He doesn't practice anymore. He doesn't want to practice. He doesn't want to be playing preseason games. And you can yell at LeBron for that. But there's two reasons it's happening. Because LeBron has a real understanding of the history of the game. And he has watched his idols and his contemporaries fall apart because they overpractice. They play in games that don't matter. And he's not going to do that. And the second thing is, and this is blaming the public and the media, everybody, after LeBron won his first title, started comparing him to Michael. And all of you out there, the media and the fans, said, nah, 6 for 6, 6 for 6, 6 for 6. It didn't matter that LeBron was going to blow Michael away in every statistical category. It didn't matter because you made it all about finals. And so LeBron, like he has done with basketball history, listened. He listened to the media. He listened to the fans. And he said, I'm not going to waste my legs at practice, and I'm not going to waste my legs in the NBA preseason, and I'm going to start taking a bunch of days off in the regular season. He did it because of you and his appreciation for history. The Lakers, I believe, will win about 47, 48 games, but they won't be very good in October, November, and December. LeBron spends $1 million a year on his body. Eats, sleeps, rests, doesn't practice. He is seeking a career extension. And when he said that yesterday, I'll be ready for June. I'm not going to do preseason. That's his appreciation for the game and watching stars deteriorate, Kobe, Bird, MJ. And it's also listening to you. It matters what you do with your body. There's a meme that went around the internet that was wildly funny, and it was on the internet when Mission Impossible came out about a month ago. Tom Cruise is 5 years older in Mission Impossible than Wilford Brimley was in Cocoon. And I'm putting that picture up for our FS1 audience. How you treat your body is how your body eventually treats you. Say what you want about Tom Cruise. The exercise, the regimen, the working out, he's still a movie star in America. And LeBron has been the Tom Cruise of this sport. He's watched other actors not take care of themselves, be gym rats, can't get out of it, over-practice, kill yourself for preseason and regular season games in Denver in December, and he's not going to do it. And he's not going to do it here, and I applaud him for it. Because we're the ones that kept saying, 6 for 6, June's all that matters. All that matters is finals. We don't care. And LeBron's like, all right, you're right. I'll be ready for June.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hollywood does this from time to time. They try to make somebody a star that's not really a star. They're more of a two than a one. I always said Al Gore was a great two, never be president. Some people are great twos. They're not ones. Hollywood did this with Jude Law. They pay him like a star. If you go look at the movies he's been in, he sounds like a star, but you can't make him Sherlock Holmes. He's Watson. The talented Mr. Ripley, he wasn't Mr. Ripley. Matt Damon was. When you make him a star in a movie, nobody watches. Jude Law can be paid like one. You can try to convince me he's one. He's not one. Kirk Cousins tonight is not a star. His contract tells you he's a star. He gets paid like a star. He may win a bunch of games and you'll think he's a star, but he's 6'3", 208 pounds. He doesn't have a great arm, he's not a world-class athlete, and he's not very big. His own executive, Bruce Allen, didn't know his name when talking about his contract negotiations in D.C. earlier in his career. Remember this?
After discussions with Kurt this weekend, face-to-face, Kurt is obviously an important part of our organization. Our goal was to sign Kurt to a long-term contract. We made Kurt an offer that included the highest fully guaranteed amount upon signing.
It's so painful.
His name is not Kurt. It's Kirk. But again, people get fooled. Tonight, Jared Goff is a number one pick in the draft. Cam Newton was a number one pick in the draft. Andrew Luck was a number one pick in the draft. When you watch Patrick Mahomes or Carson Wentz, it may only be once, sometimes twice in a game, that you go, whoa! I see it about once a week from Cam. Whoa! Jared Goff had a throw last week to Robert Woods, and it was the best throw of any quarterback in the entire National Football League. No quarterback on the planet last week made a better throw than the one I'm showing the FS1 viewers right now. That is a number one quarterback throw. Kirk Cousins doesn't make that throw. So tonight, you're going to have, and by the way, Goff may only have one play tonight, one throw. I don't care about stats. I don't care about, Kirk Cousins is Jude Law. He gets paid like a star. He's in movies like a star. But every time you want him to be a star, Kirk Cousins is 4-19 in his NFL career. And by the way, he's been on some pretty good teams. 4-19. Against teams that are 500 or better. Because you know what teams that are 500 or better have? Star quarterbacks. He's 4-19. So tonight, give me that star moment in Jude Law's career. The scene in which you're like, woo! It doesn't have one. Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible, second best movie ever made. Had a couple of moments where I'm like, wow. Literally can't take your eyes off him. Hanging from a cliff. Can't take your eyes off him. A Few Good Men. Can't take your eyes off. By the way, stars aren't stars all the time. Jack Nicholson's been in 150 movies. He's probably got 160 scenes where you're like, oh my God, he is unbelievable. He doesn't know every scene's not like that. Tom Cruise has like 12 scenes in his life. One of them in his underwear. Remember that one, singing in his underwear? Where you're like, oh, he's a star. Jude Law doesn't have any of them. Kirk Cousins doesn't have any of them. Jared Goff had one last week. He was the best throw on the planet by any quarterback. And you're like, that's why he's the number one pick. Remember, even stars aren't stars every play. But they can take you to places that non-stars can't. For the record, Tom Cruise does his own stunts. Dude's a star. Mission Impossible, second best movie ever made after The Godfather. I'm not kidding you. Half of my staff still hasn't seen it. Wait until you see the cliff scene.
Are they paying you to promote
no,
that?
No, they're not paying me anything.
Goulet, I'm honestly starting to believe it. That's what's happening here.
No.
The second best movie ever, Colin.
You know what? Let me reconsider. By tomorrow, it could be the best movie I've ever seen.
Are you trying to get a role in Mission Impossible 7?
He is so good in it. It is so good. Cruise is so good. But there's about two scenes in the movie where you're like, oh, Tom's special. I know he can be cuckoo. I know some of you don't like his religion. I know the Oprah jumping on the couch thing. About two times in that movie, you're like, Jude Law can't do that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and it's not a laughing matter, but it's amazing how your brand can change with just one incident. And I'll give you an example. If you drove, you got your license at 16, and you drove till 76 years old. So what is that, 50 years, 60 years you drove, okay? And in that time, 60 years, you had one DUI after a Christmas party. People would say, well, he had bad judgment, but by and large, that doesn't define him. You were on the road for 50 or 60 years. You had one DUI during a Christmas party. But by getting just one more, two DUIs, people would say, oh, he's an alcoholic. Just from one to two, you'd go from bad judgment at a Christmas party to, oh, he's got a disease. One incident can radically shape how people view you. And that's just the way the world is. We all make mistakes, but when you make that second mistake or you have that second incident, you go from, oh, bad judgment to, oh, he's got a real problem. And that's just the way it is. It happens in politics. It happens in sports. Now, Aaron Rodgers is practicing finally today. And one of the reasons I thought the Packers should go after Khalil Mack, because I don't want Aaron Rodgers to be facing Khalil Mack 10 times in 5 years. He's faced him for one half. He's already hurt. Aaron Rodgers has had two collarbone surgeries, torn a calf. He is hurt again. He couldn't practice last week. He couldn't practice much this week. He is practicing limited practice today. Let me ask you this, Joy. If Aaron Rodgers had one more injury, would it be fair to say he's injury prone? Mid-30s, he's injury prone. One more.
Because right now, people may feel that right now.
It's funny. Aaron Rodgers, these are not opinions. Aaron Rodgers is hurt again. Aaron Rodgers is limited at practice again. Aaron Rodgers is missing practice regularly. Again. Again, the gap in pro sports, you can get hurt a couple times. You go to that third injury where you have to leave a season and it all changes. I mean, let's be honest about Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck misses more time this year, I view Andrew Luck differently. I can no longer depend on Andrew Luck physically. None of it his fault. If Aaron Rodgers suffers another injury and misses more time, six games, I think his brand changes. I think his brand changes. I think I look at Aaron Rodgers and go, oh, yeah, he's talented. But, like, you know, he and Andrew Luck, you know, they just can't. It's not their fault, but they just can't stay healthy. And we talk about all these other guys that do stay healthy. So it's a real thing. He's practicing today. He's an amazing talent. But this is another reason, Lordy, I don't want to see I mean, that Khalil Mack, nine more times in 5 years minimum. It's kind of frightening if you're a Packer fan.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
He's been an NFL film senior producer for nearly 40 years. I call it our meat sandwich. It's the smartest, most objective talk about football based on film that I think's provided anywhere in our industry. And Greg Cosell is joining us now. I'm already seeing the stories. Dak's no good. It's Jason Garrett's fault. Jason Garrett's too simplistic. Okay, what does the film say? What is the issues with this Cowboy offense?
Well, I always think, Colin, that you have to separate the scheme and the quarterback. Scheme will help quarterbacks put up numbers without question, and scheme can make a quarterback obviously very, very good. I think there's issues with scheme in terms of getting receivers open within the timing of the drop, and that's a concern. But I would say that Prescott right now is not a very comfortable player in the pocket. I would say that there's too much necessary movement that he does, and that results in creating his own pressure at times and losing his ability to make throws. And so I think that it's a combination of a number of things. I could show you specific plays from this week where he missed throws.
Yes. His accuracy when he's forced to go off his primary receiver sometimes, Greg, it's not very good.
And when he's think back to his first year when everything was pristine and he would drop back, be clean in the pocket, be comfortable, and deliver the ball without any people around him. When the bodies start to get around him, he's uncomfortable, he lacks patience, he's starting to anticipate pressure, which is the worst thing a quarterback can do. You cannot anticipate pressure because you end up breaking down, abandoning progressions, and then if you all of a sudden see something, you end up throwing the ball off balance. It's a combination of things. It's not all Prescott, but he's starting because of all of this himself not to play very well. And, you know, he may be the kind of guy that needs a full team. And you know what? There are guys like that, and that's okay, but that's what he probably is.
Well, looky here. Norv Turner arrives in Carolina, and Cam now is Mr. 67% complete. I mean, this has always been my knock, that he's in a precision league. He's not a precision thrower.
Right.
And it looks like something's working with Norv's system, right?
Well, it's old school Norv and new breed Cam. That's what they did this past week against the Bengals. It's a lot of what Norv has always done with the play action under center, throwing the intermediate routes, and then the multidimensional running game with all the backfield actions and the multiple run concepts within one play, of which Cam is a major part of because of his running ability. So you have more stress and pressure on a defense. You have more defined throws for Cam. And one thing that's clear, too, is he does want Cam to throw the shorter throws and the checkdowns when necessary, and that will always raise your completion percentage. And keep in mind, he only threw 25 balls this week. You know, that's not usually normal, but I think in an ideal world, Norv would much rather have Cam be closer to that than 40 or 45 throws.
Oh, absolutely. No question. So Jared Goff plays tonight. Sean McVay's system is very clever. Two teams look different to me. Matt Nagy and Sean McVay's system. A lot of motion. Fun to watch.
Yeah.
I think Goff's a better player. Now, we're getting into this thing. I'm hearing this now. Well, you know, he's kind of a system quarterback. Jared Goff made a throw last week to Robert Woods that was about as good a throw as anybody in the National Football League made. I really like Goff. I think he throws a beautiful ball. I think he's accurate. But there are those now that are saying, you know, he's just kind of running a great system. What do you see on film with Goff?
Well, let me ask you a question. So what? Wasn't Joe Montana running a great system with Bill Walsh?
Yes.
I don't understand. I mean, I'm being honest with you. It's not you saying it, Colin. My response would be, so what? It's a terrific mix of a great system with an efficient quarterback who's a rhythm timing player, who's an easy thrower of the football, who's consistently accurate. So I don't understand what the issue is. So why can't we just say, you know what? It's a really efficient passing game.
Yeah.
The quarterback plays at a high level. The system presents defined reads. They have good players. Let's move on.
Yeah, no. The throw, I'm showing it right now to Robert Woods. It was one of those throws. You know, I was saying this. Tom Cruise or whoever's a great actor, Tom Cruise doesn't have to be great in every scene. There'll be a couple of scenes in a movie where Jack Nicholson pops and you're like, oh, God, that's why Jack Nicholson's a movie star. Jared Goff isn't amazing on every throw, either as Carson Wentz or Drew Brees. But the great ones will make a couple of throws in a game, Greg, and you're just like, oh, wow.
Now, what people are waiting to see, obviously, Colin, and then we'll move on, is if they get into a lot of close games and he has to make these kinds of throws in the fourth quarter. That's what people always wait to see, and that's how they make their judgments ultimately about quarterbacks. You know, obviously, last year was just his second year and his first with McVay, and they got to the playoffs and they lost, and they did not have a good offensive game. So people are waiting for that. But up to this point, it's a really good system with a quarterback who's very efficient. All good.
All right, Tom Brady's struggling. I said before the season, this looks different. Cordarrelle Patterson, he doesn't trust. Josh Gordon, I don't trust. Julian Edelman's not there. I don't think they have a special running back. Gronk's still Gronk, but he doesn't quite feel as quick, as twitchy as he used to be. I don't see their dynamic offensive players. What does the tape show?
Well, I'm so glad you asked me about that, because Matt Patricia took a page out of the Bill Belichick book. You probably remember in the Super Bowl in which they beat the Rams, the greatest show on turf,
yeah,
that Belichick used what we call a bullseye tactic, where he had his edge rusher go attack Marshall Faulk when he was offset in the backfield, and in other words, rush the quarterback through Faulk. Well, Patricia decided on third down that there were two players he had to stop, Gronkowski and White. Okay? Because the other players he could match up to. So what he did, and most people will not do this, is he played with seven defensive backs. So he doubled Gronk with a corner and a safety. He matched up a safety man-to-man on White. Good matchup. And then he had three corners available to play man-to-man on the three wide receivers. So he took away Gronkowski with the double. He took away White with the bullseye tactic and the safety covering him man-to-man. And they had no passing game on third down. Now, the Dolphins won't do that this week. They don't play like that. But it was a brilliant piece of coaching by Matt Patricia.
Well, what do you mean they don't play like that? Why wouldn't everybody play like that? It's not like neuroscience. I mean, just play like that.
Right, but see, the seven DBs and specific things like that come from the Belichick system. Matt Burke is the DC for the Dolphins. He plays almost all nickel. He hardly plays anything other than five defensive backs. And I went back and looked at what he did last year. He didn't do anything like this. Now, could he this week? We'll have to wait and see. But that's not been in his history and his track record. But it was just brilliant by Patricia.
All right, Deshaun Watson. Last year, wow. This year, meh. What's the difference?
Well, his numbers are still good. You know, fantasy people like him. But I think, you know, here's what the tape shows, in my opinion. And this is something he's going to have to work through. He's starting to drop his eyes and be concerned about the rush, Colin. And yes, people can say, well, he's playing with a rookie left tackle and a second-year right tackle, and they're not playing particularly well. That's true. But as a quarterback, you still cannot drop your eyes and start to be aware of the rush. So that's something he's going to have to work through. They're going to have to work through it as a coaching staff, maybe help him with quicker throws, more quick rhythm throws, do things to get him more into the rhythm. But you know, he fell behind last week. My guess is he probably threw for most of those yards in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. You know, I watched Baker Mayfield, and I still wouldn't have picked him number one, but I always said he won't be a bust because he throws too accurate a football. I was kind of impressed with him. I mean, not blown away, but I was kind of impressed. Were you impressed?
Yeah, I was. I thought he looked like he did in college. The strength of his game is working between the numbers. He's got a very quick, compact delivery with excellent velocity in the short to intermediate area. He's accurate, as you said. He's decisive. That's what I like. Now, the more he plays, the more teams will get a book on him in the context of that offense. But he showed quick ability to eliminate and isolate. And by that, I mean to eliminate what wasn't there and isolate what was there. And I love the fact that he's a turn a loose guy, Colin. In the NFL, it's like Pat Mahomes. In the NFL, you've got to be willing to turn it loose.
Yeah, you can't. The minute you start thinking about your last pick, you're done. I'm a big believer in that. You have to have a very short memory. That's why I like Darnold and Andrew Luck, is they make bad mistakes and they just overcut. They just don't care. And I think that's a real thing. By the way, the Raiders are 0-3, and I'm not a fan of hiring a coach who hasn't been in the league for 10 years. But, you know, I watched them last week and I watched them against Denver. They don't look like a terrible 0-3 team to me. I kind of like some of the things the Raiders are doing. What does the film say?
Well, I think one thing Gruden is really working on, and I remember reading his book years ago, and one of the most important things to him for a quarterback is completions. And I think that they're trying to develop that whole mindset, because there's a lot of quick rhythm throws, a lot of short throws, not much at the intermediate and deeper levels. I think they're trying to build their offense. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say they're ready for an offensive explosion this week, but I think they're getting incrementally better.
Okay.
And we'll see how that progresses, but I think that's what's important to Gruden, completions for his quarterback.
Finally, your big play, it's Carson Wentz. I watched some of this Colts-Eagles game, and we kind of predicted on the show, we thought it would be close because they're dinking and dunking a little bit. Frank Reich now is dinking and dunking a little bit underneath stuff with Andrew Luck. Maybe it's an arm issue. And I thought they'd be a little conservative with Carson Wentz, but you saw a play you want to show us on tape.
Well, yeah, just before we get to that, a very quick point. The Eagles are lacking at wide receiver right now. See, this is good coaching. They ended up playing two-thirds of their snaps with either two tight ends or three tight ends on the field because they didn't feel they had quality wide receivers. So that's what they did in this game. In this play, and let's start it right now, this play came at the end of their first possession, and it was a touchdown, obviously, to Dallas Goedert. Now, what they did here, first of all, they have three tight ends on the field. They have Zach Ertz, they have Dallas Goedert, and they have Josh Perkins, who split out to the right, and he's almost built like a wide receiver. He's long and lanky. And what Wentz was looking at was a two-safety look. That's what it looks like to start, two safeties. But one safety on the side of Goedert starts to drop down. So now what you have is the safety dropping down, and he's no longer a deep safety. And Goedert is running a seam route on that side. So now it's the other safety that has to become a factor in the throw. But Wentz does a terrific job of recognizing all this, looking to his left to hold that safety, then coming back to Goddard to the right. And because he held the safety, that other safety, who's Malik Hooker, cannot get there. So this ended up being pitch and catch. It was beautifully done, well designed in the red zone, and Wentz executed it perfectly.
Boy, that is nice. That's one of your better ones. That's a really nice play. Greg Cosell, 40 years, senior producer, NFL Films, talking to you again, Greg. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, I don't have a lot of pet peeves. I mean, I don't like traffic, but you don't like traffic. Joy, do you like traffic?
I, in fact, don't like traffic,
yeah.
Colin, coincidentally.
But the things I don't like are things everybody doesn't like. I'm not a pet peeve guy, but increasingly, here's the thing that's wearing me out. When successful people who have great lives play a victim, oh, woe is me. Woe is me. Kevin Durant's getting really annoying. Kevin Durant is upset because he's not being considered for Defensive Player of the Year. Here he is. Listen to this.
Accolades, that stuff, that stuff is kind of long gone for me, unless it's like, you know, finals or something like that, where it's probably pretty even. But, you know, regular season awards, I mean, I'm never going to get a look when it comes to that, especially playing here for the Warriors. You know they're not going to give me anything. Even if it's on the fence, I have to be clear-cut better than everybody for me to even get a look. So,
Why do you think that is?
I mean, it's just pure hate for me, obviously.
Oh, God. Oh, Kevin, your life. So, let me ask you, how many years has Kevin Durant been in Golden State? Two. How many championships has he won? Two. How many MVP of the finals has he won? Two. How many times has he beaten LeBron? Two. If you'd have laid it out 2 years ago and said, you're going to win two titles, you're going to beat LeBron both times, and you're going to be named finals MVP twice, you'd be like, check, 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 I'll take that. And Kevin Durant, you know, pure hate. No, nobody likes me. There are real victims in America all over. And then there are successful people who play the victim. You got to give me a break on this. Dude, we all make choices. One of the reasons I chose when I came to FS1 not to do politics is because Trump became president and the country was very divisive and it was very polarizing and it was too much hate. And I thought, I don't want to get into that like circus. I used to talk politics and I'm like, now it's too divisive. It's just not, I don't want to get all the blowback. I got kids, family, they're getting older. I want to do other stuff. I don't want to be on Twitter all day yelling at people or have people yelling at me on that stuff. I don't care. But if you decide to go into it, and many people have in my industry, just be prepared for the blowback. Don't whine about the blowback.
Everybody yells at me on Twitter.
Well, you went into politics. If you go into politics in 2018, it's a nasty business. Half the country hates you, and half the country loves you, and half the country roots for you, and half the country wants you fired. So if you choose to go into politics, don't whine about what people say to me on Twitter. I don't go into politics. Kevin, you chose the easier route. And the minute you chose Golden State and they were already really good, this was the politics. This was the blowback. You could have done the harder thing. You could have stayed at Oklahoma City. You could have been the best player, the go-to guy. You chose to go into a great team knowing full well adding you to that team was going to be a dynasty. Don't go and then complain about the blowback. You're not a victim when you choose the exit off the interstate. If you're a sports reporter and go into politics, don't whine about how you're treated. And if you're an NBA star and you join a great championship team, don't whine that not everybody roots for me anymore. Of course they don't. Of course they don't root for you. You took an easier route. You joined a great team. But I mean, there are real victims. And then there are rich people and successful people that think they're victims. And Kevin Durant, dude.
He is undervalued for his defensive ability. He's such a great shooter. And he,
by the way, you're
so
right.
Consistent
okay.
with that.
You're right. But does everybody realize that James Harden and Westbrook have won the last two MVPs and LeBron is significantly better than both?
Right. I don't think it's something to complain about.
And he's complaining about it.
But he has a point, but it's not necessarily something to complain
Phil
about.
Phil Jackson, one NBA coach of the year. Sam Mitchell has an NBA coach of the year.
We just did a whole list of unbelievable all-time superstars in sports that never won MVPs.
Guys complaining about stuff. I mean, they're real victims. Let's listen to them. Not Kevin Durant. I also didn't win Sixth Man of the Year, nor was I nominated for an Oscar. Oy, oy, oy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There's a Gronk story that's out there. Chris Gronkowski, who is Gronk, Rob Gronkowski's brother, went in a radio station in Boston and had this quote. He said, "I can tell by my brother's emotions, facial features, super frustrated with it. He just wants to get the ball in his hands and make plays. You can't do it when nobody else is getting open." This was Chris Gronkowski talking about his brother, Rob, or Gronk, his frustration with the Patriots. Let me tell you something. I don't know him well, but I've met the Gronk family. There's not a lot of BS with the Gronk family. It is, they're not capable of weaving alternate narratives and being, that's not who they are. This is the truth. Like, this is the truth. A couple days ago, Gronk said something. He confirmed a rumor about a trade, and this was Gronk taking a shot at Belichick. And Brady's already taken a couple of public shots at Belichick. Remember this couple days ago from Gronk?
Yeah, it happened, and Brady's my quarterback. That's all. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
There's no reason to say that. There was no reason to confirm it. There was no reason to say Brady. Brady and Gronk don't like Belichick anymore. It's over. Now, they have a common goal, and if you're in a relationship and you have a common goal at work, two things happen. You go in, you're a pro, you get your work done because you're a pro. And the second thing is, whenever you can take subtle shots at your boss, you do. Brady and Gronk now, repeated subtle shots at Belichick. They hate him. They're not going to go public, and they're both pros. You've all had a boss you hate. Two things happen when you hate your boss. You go to work and do your thing because you're a pro. But when you can take little shots at your boss and people can hear it, you do. Brady's done it multiple times in the last 6 months. Gronk's doing it, and his brother's confirming it. Dude's not happy. This is a marriage of convenience. They're staying married because of the kids. Gronk and Brady are totally over Belichick. What do the wise guys wear? I get asked that from time to time. The answer is the new gear from the HerdNow.com merchandise store. We are now officially open for business. We have all the apparel diehard Herd fans need to represent the show. Go to TheHerdNow.com. If you don't, that's a you problem. And that's a you problem is one of our shirts. Check it out. TheHerdNow.com. TheHerdNow.com store is open for business today.